All right, this is our very first Lady Balls show, and we don't have a jingle. So, Lady Balls, it can't be chirpy, it has to be something hardcore.
Balls. Lady Balls.
Lady Balls. Da 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 da! For sure.
That's your jingle.
I'm not really a heavy metal person.
Oh, you're more hip hop gangster.
Yeah. Give me a beat.
Lady Balls. Lady Balls. Apparently, the kids told me that if you go cats and boots and cats and boots and cats and boots, it sounds like rat.
It sounds like you're saying cats and boots. Is that what you're saying?
That is what I'm saying, but I was meant to sound like I'm a gangster.
Actually, Millie's pretty good at human beatbox. I should get her to do an intro.
That's your new intro.
This is the intro. So this is the Lady Balls podcast and our very first show. We've got Nat Toloff here. We're sitting here having some water and cheese and crackers and pesto. And we're going to chew the fat about the first time that Nat really embraced her Lady Balls. So Nat's going to inspire the shit out of us today, whether she thinks she is or not, because this podcast is all about sharing times where you've really embraced your Lady Balls, even though you've been shit scared, terrified, and you've done it anyway. Feel the fear and do it anyway kind of thing. So Nat, thanks for being my first person.
When you said I was going to be your first person, I'm like, fucking, I felt like I was like visually shoving people out of the way to get here to be the first person. Yeah. I was like,
move over, bitches. I'm like, I want to be number one.
Do you want me to come over at midnight? Like, I'm free anytime. So I'm stoked on your first person. And we literally will have to chew the fat because we ate all the cheese.
Yeah.
On the cheese dinner.
We already ate the fat.
So we'll be like talking. It was a really tough first question. That you asked, when was the first time you got your balls on, your Lady Balls? There's been so many times, but I think the first time for me was acknowledging that I needed to make change. So when I was in my GOB, my job, you asked me to come to Australia and asked me to help you video. This is back when you and I think it was after Cabin Days. Which we won't bore them with Cabin Days.
Cabin Days. Our mastermind, yeah. Like, that was like 10 years ago. We used to mastermind together.
Was it really that long?
Yep.
Shit.
Accountability mastermind partners. Yeah.
And so I knew, so I've always known I wanted to do more. Anyway, I was running this other person's business, a $7 million business, running someone else's business. I said to him, can I have this week off? I want to go to Australia. And he said, no. And I didn't expect the no. I honestly didn't expect to be turned down. And I remember I was just so gutted and pissed off.
That someone had power over you?
Yes.
It's like, you don't own me.
I was really, it really showed me how restraining a job was. So by getting my balls on, I then made that decision. And it's not a big ball thing, but that's where it started. Was to
it actually is. Yeah. Okay, to people who are in their job balls. Right now and are considering, you know, taking the leap, yeah. Changing jobs or starting their business or whatever.
Yeah.
It's huge. Like, it's easy for you to look back now and think that it wasn't huge.
True.
But it was fucking massive at the time. But now now you're in your new skin that...
Yeah.
It was huge.
That's a good point, actually, because I was thinking, oh, that's not a very significant ball moment.
But yeah, it is.
It's the first ball
pretty
moment.
Pretty fucking big.
Yeah. So I remember going home and saying to Mike, oh my God, the boss said, no, I can't go. And even he was gutted, and I just said to him, hey, look, I've got to get out. This is ridiculous. So that was my first ball moment. And then I was trying to think of, you know, we always want to have the bigger ball moment. And I was trying to think of that before, and I think the big ball moment, remember when I did finally leave and I came and worked and was your business development manager for Jody Jealous, telling you that I needed to stop doing it because I needed to go on my own because you were my comfort blanket.
Which was always your goal anyway.
Yeah.
That was always the plan.
But you were still my regular income and I had to go out into the world alone.
And that's probably the big... That's right. Your comfort blanket. That makes sense. Yeah, because like giving up the regular income.
Yeah.
Also, another one for you was I remember when you were in that job... And they promoted you to general manager.
Yes.
And I remember that you were scared and you had doubt about taking on the job and whether you were able to do it, even though technically you were already pretty much doing the job anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then, yeah, they promoted you to general manager, and that was a big jump for you as well.
It was a big jump for you. Actually, that's a good... I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
I remember when he announced it. So I remember when he asked me, my boss asked me, you know, I've been watching you, not fucking creepy much.
Not in your bedroom window, tap on the window kind of way.
Yeah. And so when he asked me, and I remember just being, you know, speechless, which was not like me. And I was like, you know, I've got a baby. He's like, yes. And I'm like, you know, I'm probably going to have another one soon. He's like, yep. He's like, I'm going to pay you more money and you can have as much flexibility as you need. Like, awesome boss.
Do you know what's cool?
Yeah.
What? Of all the years I've known you, yeah, and all of the up-leveling that you've done, and when you were out in your business and you've up-leveled and up-leveled, that's the most scared I've ever seen you. Was, yeah, when you took the general manager role. It wasn't leaving your job. It wasn't going all in on your business. It wasn't the big steps, yeah, because that was the big jump you took. Yeah. And because you had fully embraced your lady balls at that point, all the other things after that, at least from the outside, haven't looked like they've been as hard for you. It's kind of like,
the this more... This is very true. You're so insightful today.
The more bad shit that happens to you, the more adaptable you become.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the bigger leaps you take, the other leaps, even if they're bigger, you've learned how to leap, so it's not as terrifying.
That is so true. Holy shit. That's a really good point, actually.
Because I've never seen you been scared about anything else since then.
Do you know what was the scariest about that? And I still remember it now, is standing amongst the room full of people, of the other staff, and when he told them the new position, who the new position had, and seeing their faces, I wasn't the first pick. I wasn't a pick at all. And so it was like a Mutiny on the Bounty moment, and I was like, fuck, here we go. And I think that was what I was scared of the most. With other people's reactions,
yeah,
and then spending the whole time proving them wrong, which I took that into my business,
right? As a driver, though,
yeah, totally,
so you took something negative and turned it into a driver,
yeah. But that's what I was most scared of: is shit. What are other people going to think?
And maybe that's because I know that you preach that a lot now in your teachings about how we care so much about what other people think, which we do.
Yeah.
Every time I think I don't care about what people think, I realize I do, but I just, like, there might be a particular thing that I used to worry, like, I used to worry about what people would think about me online, and then I grew a thick skin around that.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, I don't care what people think anymore, but then something else would happen, and I'd go, oh my God, I do care, I care way too much, like, you know, caring what your parents think, or caring what your kids think, like, you still do all the time.
It's something that, it's actually an interesting point that you bring up about, you know how we both do a lot of live videos and just show up, and people just think it's because we don't not worry about what other people think. We don't know. Like, sometimes I hop on a live and I go, did that even make sense?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm going to delete it because it was so bad, or I looked terrible, or that's less likely now. But usually I still get quite nervous going live, even though it's like my 69th live.
You do it every day, practically.
I know, but
you're
still
the most
get quite
consistent
nervous.
Person I know when it comes to lives.
Annoyingly fucking consistent. Yeah, but I think it's just because there is that thing of, you know, the fear of failure and the fear of success. And the more you're seen and visible with people, you feel like you have to keep, this isn't what I feel, but it can stop me if I'm not aware of the story. Oh, I'm going to show up today. I have to show up with something bigger, better, brighter. But you don't. You just need to just keep showing up and being yourself. And
it's, in fact, it's you showing up every day like you do consistently that makes people come to you.
Yeah, because I'm not going anywhere.
Because you and Denise Duffield Thomas, I always tell people, are the most consistent people I know.
Oh, high five us. Yeah, Denise is fucking amazing, right?
Yeah.
She's a gun.
But she hates, she like, she batch
She's a queen
films.
Of batches. She hate batching.
She loves it because she doesn't want to put her makeup on in that every day. Whereas for you, your daily rituals are, it is showing up every day.
Do you know, I don't realise it, but as I've got older, I'm so routined.
Yeah.
I'm so routine. It's ridiculous. So if you want to hang out with me on a Sunday, I can't because I'm joking. Yeah.
It's laundry day.
But there's weird shit like that though, right? And just like routine. But I know that I need it because that creative brain of mine needs routine so that I become I'm a very good finisher. And because I've got ideas, you know what it's like? You're an ideas person.
Yeah, but I'm not a finisher by any stretch of the imagination. I got ideas up the wazoo. But I don't complete anything.
Yeah. Well, no, you have Lady Balls. You can, you're picking back up.
Yeah. Oh, that's ever evolving, but oh, I've got this great app idea. Oh my gosh. I'm so drawn to it. I was even looking at bikini manufacturers last night for my idea.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and then I was like, Jodie, focus. Eyes on the prize.
Focus. Man, just like having focus even with like kids, and as they get older, as kids get older, they're harder. Bring back the 3-year-olds and the 4-year-olds. I'm finding them.
Really?
Yeah, man. Like just in terms of like after school stuff. Just, I don't know.
Oh, they, now they got sports and stuff.
Yeah. It's and, like... just, and just that you actually have to be there and engaged with them because they know when you're on your phone. Do you totally. Know what I mean?
But there's it forces us to stop.
Yeah.
It's like I could like Millie could catch the bus to school every day and people go, why don't you get her on the bus? I've bought her a bus pass and everything.
Yeah.
And then in the mornings I drop her off because it's almost like the trigger in my head, my day starts.
Totally.
I go out and I come back in and that's your day starting.
Yeah, so you've got some creature of habit.
But with the sport as well, it's kind of like because we can't be on our phones and doing business, we're forced to stop and be present, like Joey's rugby this morning.
Yeah.
I get so fucking into it on the sideline.
Are you one of those mums on the sidelines?
Oh, yeah, I'm like super vocal. I yell. Except for if my mum's there, she yells more. But I like it, and it's the one time, you know, one of those moments where I'm not thinking about work.
Yeah.
And yeah,
which I think is really good for us because remember we would just literally do.
I would just work all day and all night.
Remember when we read Gary Vee? We're like, yeah, man, I stayed up last night.
Do your eyeballs bleed?
And we used to like not a badge of honor, but definitely as I've got older, like if I don't take the weekends off, like literally switch right off for 2 days. I'm not. I can't serve my clients the next week.
Yeah, because you burn out.
Yeah. So.
But, see, I have this discussion about hustle and flow all the time. Yeah. And in the Gary Vee example, and it's the same, I think, of Ryan Sturman because he's hardcore, full on all the time.
Yeah.
But their hustle is their flow.
Yes, I totally agree.
Like, they're in total flow if they're hustling.
Yeah.
Whereas other people, like myself, I'm somewhere in the middle. If I'm too cruisy, I'm lazy as shit.
Yeah.
If I hustle day and night, I burn out physically. Because that's my flow is somewhere in the middle. So yeah, it's not been the anti hustle, it's been the pro flow.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
I'm
because one man's hustle is flow.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that's like when I work with clients and they're high achievers who I work with, I don't tell them they need to slow down.
Yeah,
I just would say that's the worst advice I'd ever give you.
A high achiever slowing down will make them, their self-doubt will kick in. They'll start abusing themselves. They'll feel like they're a loser. 100%.
Yeah. So it's just like, that's the worst thing to tell someone is, you're doing it wrong. You got to slow down. Because if, like you said, if hustle's their actual flow moment, that's the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
And I kind of went on the anti-hustle club there for a while. I like Gary Vee. Yeah. Oh my God. I get exhausted just thinking about it. And I even stopped following him for a while because it was too intense.
He got a little bit manic.
But then I'm like, there's still so much valuable stuff that he says. Like,
you've got to produce 100 pieces of content a day.
Oh, and then we went
Come on, you lazy fuckers. You've only got 99.
We went and did it, and it took us, what?
That's right.
4 hours to create 100 pieces of content.
And then we hadn't actually created the 100 pieces.
I've still got that book. I still refer to that stuff, though. You only need to do that once or twice a year, and it gives you enough ammo.
It took us 4 hours to think of 100 pieces of content. We didn't even create that content.
Yeah. It was just, mine was just titles and bullets.
Yeah.
But, God, I've pulled from that book so many times.
It's such a good book.
But I'll look at one piece of content that we created that day.
Yeah.
And there are 5 things will come off it.
Hey, do you sometimes look at some of your post-it notes and go, what the hell did I just write? Like, sometimes I look at some of my notes and I'm like, what does it even mean?
Oh, no, wait, that's the grocery list. Milk? What was I thinking? Oh, okay. That's groceries. Yeah. What about in your business? When has been your embrace your lady balls moments in your business? The scariest moment where you've gone, right, lady balls up.
Okay, lady balls up. And I love being able to tell this story, not because I stay in the story, but because the story is so powerful, is the day I woke up with my face paralyzed.
Yep.
That looked like I had a stroke. And I'm the face of my, well, I am the face of my business. So when you're looking slightly retarded, and I can say that because I was the retard at that time, right? So I feel like I can say that. Is the first thing I did after going to the doctors and finding out that I hadn't had a stroke, that I was going to be okay, just that my face had paralysed through Bell's palsy, was I jumped on a video.
Yes, I remember that.
Who fucking does that? So that was a Lady Balls moment, because I was like, if I don't get back up right now, I'm not going to get back up. And so at that time, I was coaching clients for another coach, so her master coach, and she asked me to not put my face to camera when I was coaching. So that was a real pivotal moment for me. Like, do I want to work and be associated with someone who was so vain?
Yeah, I remember that.
They were like, you look slightly different. You're putting, could put my clients off. So
when really, because you're all about showing up.
Yeah.
And even in that moment, you still showed up.
Yeah.
I reckon that was a massive turning point for your business, because people were like, fuck, even then she's going to show up. When most people would hide, you're still fucking showing up.
Yeah. But it actually saved me. If I didn't have my business to show up in, I think I would have gone in a really different direction.
Because somebody made you feel that way?
I think just because it's so hard to look at yourself when you fucking look fucked up like that.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I'm a late maturer, so being able to accept, to just accept myself as a whole person and accept what you look like without looking a bit strange for a little while, it was a really pivotal moment in my life for lots of reasons. And and I remember having to still do events and ringing up people and going, oh, you booked me for an event, I just want you to know my face looks a little bit, I sound like I'm drunk and I look a little bit different. And so many people didn't care.
Plus, you can make that part of the story, like, milk it for all it's worth, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually a good point. So I haven't spoken about it for a while, because you don't want to be that person who keeps pulling out their... You know the person who wins the Pie Award from 2001? And they still keep talking
about
it.
It's funny, we went to a cupcake... there was a cupcake store, I remember, in Birkenhead from ages ago, and it was where Joey played rugby today.
Oh, yeah?
And I said to the kids, I'm going to take you to this cupcake store, it's amazing. And they had all their old awards up, and cupcakes was... They were beautiful cupcakes, but there was nothing creative and special about them. And I'm like, oh... I remember it being so much better.
2001
award. Yeah.
So that's another Lady Balls moment in my business.
Big time. Big time. That was a massive
one. And going out on my own. So that was the moment. Isn't it interesting, my Lady Ball moments are all about going back out on my own. Oh.
Do you, Kerry Marie, Taki's wife, Kerry Marie.
Yeah. Never met her, but her heaps of amazing things about
her. She said something at Black Belt that struck with me, and that was isolation is an epidemic. How you say things about doing things on your own. And I was talking with someone this week who's joining Lady Balls, and she was Lady Balls program. That wasn't a plug. She kept using the words, because she's been single for so long, about tough doing it on your own.
Yeah.
And to me, doing it on your own, whether you're a single or doing it on your own, like, you know, my partner doesn't even live in the same country as me, so I'm doing it on my own anyway. Never saw that as a bad thing or a hurdle or something that would hold me back, ever. And she was using that language, and I'm like, are we ever really on our own though? Because we've always got people around us, we've always got someone that's a support crew, even if they're a Zoom call away.
Yeah.
We're never really alone. Did you ever in those times feel like you were alone? Did you feel like you were doing it alone? Did you feel like you had support?
It was more that I never supported myself. So I'd always support other people within their businesses. So I was always the bridesmaid, not the bride.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was never thought that I was... Oh, it's just that it's good enough, the worthiness to go... And I suppose childhood stuff, tall poppy, now you're too loud, you're over the top. Your personality's too big, you're aggressive, blah, blah, blah. So
aggressive? Really?
Shut up! No, I totally am.
People have called you that.
Yeah, I can be.
Really?
Yeah, if you get me in a corner, I think it's just with family. Like, I'm triggered when you're with people who they have to keep loving you because they're your mum or dad or your brother, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I can be aggressive. I can...
Snappy.
I can be snappy and fucking...
Aggressive,
And so... I definitely feel supported, but for me, because I'm a natural supporter of others, that actually stopped me going out on my own, because you had to, you have to face all your shit.
Yeah, at the end of the day, that's your strength.
I know. I denied that for a very long time.
It's the same as Senka.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of profiles, she's actually a supporter profile, and she embraces that.
Yeah.
So you're really good at encouraging people, holding people accountable to get shit done, not putting up with their, you know, not letting them put up, put themselves... what's the word? Hang on.
Yeah, let's see what falls
out.
It's
coming. Here it's coming. It's birthing. It's, you don't let them talk shit to themselves. You're like, you hold their feet to the fire. And that's what a supportive person does. And that is your strength. Yeah. It's like why people come to you.
Because people would put on their testimonials, oh, you're like a really good cheerleader. And I'd be like, oh, I'm never putting that in my copy. Cheerleader, what the fuck?
Don't you put that in your copy now?
Yeah.
Because it is what you are and it's what people need.
Exactly. Because I did deny that for ages because I didn't think it was enough.
Yeah.
I thought it had to be more than that.
Yeah.
Which is just dumb. It's just like a personal trainer to your business.
Yeah.
Have you done the fucking work? If not, give me 20.
Why not?
Yeah.
Give me 50 burpees.
We're going to have to give me 20 fucking lives.
Yeah. As a punishment.
Yeah, exactly.
Classic.
Yeah.
All right. Well, is there two questions? If people want to follow you, watch your lives, where's the best place to do that?
So come on over to...
Come on down!
Come on down to natalietolliff.com. And I'm really sorry, but it's fucking hard to spell. just come on, follow me on Facebook or Instagram, Natalie Tolliff. If you type it in, I'm going to come up. Natalie Tolliff Business Coach is going to come up.
Yeah. And if they're listening to this podcast, it'll be in the title anyway.
Excuse me, do you have any show notes and a PDF download?
And put you on the spot, because I didn't ask you this before. What's one thing you want to, what's one message you want to leave them with? Leave the people with?
Like honestly, for real, if I can do this business thing and make it work and not have to go back and get a job and consistently make money, then so can you. Like, seriously, it can fucking actually happen. It's not pipe dreams. But you're going to have to fucking work hard.
Lady balls.
Lady balls. You're going to have to have your lady balls up all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Love it. Yeah, that's so true. I saw something online this morning as well, and it was about... It was actually Gary Vee saying the secret doesn't exist.
No.
It's like, well, the secret does... The secret does exist. It's you, and the bit that they left out of that movie was you've got to do the fucking work. Yeah. Like, that's
funny.
Think of a red bike, and you get a red bike. Actually, no, you don't.
Hey, Santa, where's my fucking bike?
Like, some shit does just fall in your lap, magically happen, 100%. Yeah. But that's because you are putting the energy in and the intention, and you're getting something back in return.
That's right. It's not like... Showing you want it, and you're doing it. Yeah.
Sit on the couch and be an asshole, and the world's gonna rain money on you.
Can we chink our glasses? I want to cheers to you for inviting me to be your first guest.
Where's my glass?
Oh my god.
Killer moment. Killer our water.
Woo!
Cheers. Beer mugs. Cheers.
Thanks. It was a good podcast.
I like it. I can't believe we kept to 23 minutes. It's a fucking miracle.
I'd say the best part of the podcast was the jingle. Like,
I'm gonna, we should just use that. I'm using that forever. That's it. All right. So if you want to listen to the podcast, Lady Balls with Jody Jealous, go to ladyballs.com. You can't spell that wrong.
No.
And join us for the next one.
See y'all.
Bye.